Hey guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast. It is March Madness. It all begins tomorrow, and we are here to break down each game individually and tell you what we think will happen this weekend. Welcome back, guys. Welcome in to College Sportscast. This is our NCAA tournament game day pick'em opening weekend. It's here. It starts tomorrow. Actually, the tournament started last night. We had some play-in games last night, and we've got a couple of play-in games tonight. The first winner in the 2024 tournament was Wagner. Wagner beat Howard last night. And they were the first winner for the 2024 tournament. What's up, John Hammonds?
What's up, buddy? How's it going?
Going pretty good. It's an exciting time. Like I said, Wagner got the first win in the tournament last night. We will break down all 32 games, 64 teams. And we will try to do this as quickly as possible so we're not here for 6 hours.
Yeah, unless you're Virginia and can't put a ball in the hoop. So,
I had to
kind of throw that in there.
Virginia's pitiful, man. I mean, that's pitiful.
That's pretty bad last night, to be honest.
So. Yeah. All right. So before we get started real quick, if you are joining us on Facebook, you can now help support us by sending stars during this broadcast or when you're watching this broadcast. You can help support us. We can earn money by you sending us stars. That helps us make more of these contents for College Sportscast.
Well, and it might could help us get to the SEC tournament next year a little bit if we can get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hit that button. Get that button.
It's stars. You can also subscribe to us now. There are several different ways on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, that you can help support us. Subscribing is a monthly 99-cent fee. That's all it is 99 cents to you per month. So there is a couple of different ways to help support us.
Yeah. Let's see here.
We're going to start out with the East bracket. Down at the bottom here, you see East scrolling. So we're going to start out with the East bracket. That's the top left corner if you're looking at the brackets. And we're going to start out. I've got the first little section of the bracket there. Here we've got number one, UConn is the top of the sheet. Versus number 16, Stetson, John. We're going to start out with that game. You know, it's a 116. UConn is the number one overall seed in this.
Yeah. To be honest, I mean, you know, Stetson had a great year. It's their first ever trip to the NCAA tournament.
First trip ever, which is very exciting for them.
But your reward is University of UConn.
Yeah. I mean, I have to give out to and I have not looked at the guy's first name yet, so I'll give you an apology on that. But James Blackman's son is on this Stetson team. He scored 43 points in the championship game. And I know it's Blackman. You can check his last name. It's Blackman. Mm-hmm. I do know that. James Blackman played for Kentucky in 1985. I think he graduated in 85, if I'm not mistaken. But his son is on this Stetson team. And like John said, this is he led them to the very first NCAA tournament appearance. So got to give him a little bit of shout out here. I mean, let's be real. UConn's moving on in this one.
They are. And to be honest, you know, what Dan Hurley has done, after losing, three of its stars a year ago, he brought in, Cam Spencer.
I'm going to be honest with you, John. Cam Spencer is one I had on my list that Kentucky should have went after.
Yeah, and you know, they got Alex Caravan. They got Tristan Newton. Newton can score from anywhere. He keeps the offense flowing for UConn. Caravan's a guy who can shoot it from deep. And then they got the big center in the middle, Donovan Klingon, which could be a lottery pick possibly this. For me, UConn has everything. They got depth.
UConn's going to be a tough out in this tournament.
Well, they rank 11th in adjusted defensive efficiency, and they lead the country in offense.
I think they're probably out of all the betting and the bracket challenges and all the stuff that's going on. I think UConn's probably got the number one overall, as far as winner, the percentage for the winners in this tournament. So they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I look for them to advance in this game. So give me UConn in this one.
All right, so they are going to play the winner of the 8-9 seed here, and it is FAU versus Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And I totally misspelled Northwestern there. So
Northwest Eastern.
I don't know what I said there.
I like it's Northwestern. I'm gonna be honest with you. I kind of like Northwestern in this game.
Northwestern's lost a couple of players. They do have Boo Booey, and if you don't know who Boo Booey is, man, he is a special, special player. He is a type of player that could lead them to a victory or two in the NCAA tournament here. But of course, FAU is returning its top 8 players from a Final Four team last year.
It's highlighted by John L. Davis, one of the premier guards in the country. Yeah. The problem with FAU to me in a game like this is they're just so daggone inconsistent at times. You don't know what UAB's in this bracket, but they're not playing Northwestern. But you don't never know what FAU is going to bring to the table. They've been kind of off and on all year long. You know, they did beat Arizona early in the year. Then they lost some weird games in the AAC.
They've had some injuries. They've lost a couple of guys to injury. So you just don't know because they've lost a couple of guys to injury. And you would think FAU would come into this tournament and want to turn up, knowing that they made a Final Four run last year. They have basically the same team back. They've struggled down the stretch a little bit. I'm going to pick FAU in this game. I'm going the 8th seed in this one and going FAU.
So we'll be different. I'll take Northwestern in this game.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's fair. It's an 8-9. It's a total toss-up, to be honest with you, in this game. Underneath them is the San Diego State, which is the 5 versus UAB, which is the 12.
Yep. To me, this is the wild card here, especially with San Diego State, because, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Jaden Ledee is probably one of the best players in the country, not named Zach Edey. He can really do it all for the Aztecs. They got some really good role players, too, on that team. I feel like Waters is a step up some. They got Lamont Butler. This team for me is a wild card. Now, they're probably going to have a tough matchup, possibly in the second game with Auburn. But, you know, if they get back to the Sweet 16, there's a chance for a rematch with Connecticut looming. So, you got to play one game at a time, but I feel like this San Diego State team has a lot to prove. I felt like towards the end of the year they played really well at times. Then there was times early in the year where they didn't really look great in the middle of the year. But there was a few games there where they really turned it on. So give me San Diego State in this game. But I will say that Andy Kennedy has done a really good job with UAB this year. He's really
I got to give a huge shout out to Andy Kennedy, UAB. I mean, he has really, really done a great job since he's taken over for UAB there. He had one of the best players in the nation last year that nobody had ever heard of, to be honest with you, and lost him, and then comes back and makes the tournament this year. They went all the way to the championship game in the NIT last year, and then comes back and makes the tournament here. So, but I'm going to take San Diego State as well in this one. I just think they're probably a little bit too much for UAB, but I don't expect this to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be close or early, but I think towards the end of the game, San Diego State will wear them down a little bit.
Yeah.
Just with the fact with Jaden Ledee, I think he'll take over this game.
Yeah. I'm giving the edge to San Diego State here. Look for a 8-10 point game finishing up, probably somewhere in that range. Auburn is the 4 seed. And they're taking on number 12, Yale, which Yale's a little bit of a surprise out of the Ivy League.
Hey, listen, man, if there's a threat to the 1 seed right now, it's this Auburn team. You know, Bruce Pearl's team's peaking at the right time. You know, they just beat Florida in the SEC championship. Listen, Auburn's deep. They can defend. Broome is one of the best matchup nightmares in the country. You know, he can score inside. He can go out and shoot the three. They just share the basketball. They're fun to watch. They just might be the most balanced team, I think, in this field. And they're the only one that ranks in the top – both top 10 in both efficiency and defense efficiency. And not even UConn can claim that spot, you know. So – and this is not your typical 4 seed either, Auburn. This is just not your
team. I mean, they're coming off of a very good run, winning the SEC tournament. They have smoked South Carolina twice.
And they just throw people at you off the
bench.
By
the way, you know, South Carolina gave Kentucky trouble. They gave Tennessee trouble. I mean, we're not talking about a no slouch of a team here. And they smoked them twice. Yep. I just can't imagine this Yale team – who wasn't even the top two of this conference in regular season. I just can't imagine. I mean, they're a good team. They're like 21-9 or something like that. I'm not saying that they're, you know, not a good team, but Princeton was by far the best team in the Ivy League.
I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. And Harvard wasn't too bad as well.
Well, and sometimes in those cases, not always the best team wins. That's just the way it works in the conference tournaments.
So in this one, for sure, give me Auburn.
Yeah, I'm going to take Auburn. I think just their overall depth and their bench is going to wear Yale out.
And then before we move off of this, if you want to take a look at the Saturday-Sunday games here, you know, mine was UConn and FAU and San Diego State and Auburn. I'm actually looking for UConn and Auburn to make the Sweet 16 here.
I think it'll be San Diego State. I think they're going to figure it out, and it's no clip on Bruce Pearl. I just think the San Diego State team has a lot to prove coming this tournament. Give me the Aztec.
I do too, but they're going to kind of run into what I feel like is a pretty good buzzsaw with Auburn. So
yeah, this is a tough region.
They made the Final Four last year too, San Diego State, and have a lot of players back.
This is a tough region for a lot of teams.
Yeah. So I'm going UConn Auburn here. So just a quick look ahead. That would be the Sweet 16 choices.
These are the Thursday games.
Okay. All right. So number six, BYU takes on 11 Duquesne.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Duquesne's first tournament since 1977.
I like this game. I think this is a different kind of matchup of different styles of play. BYU likes to play at a fast pace. You know, the Dukes, they prefer a slower style, you know, playing the shot clock on each possession. Grant and Clark can control the game with the ball in their hands for Duquesne. They also play really good defense on the perimeter. I think they're ranked 53rd in the country in three-point defense. And they come in red hot. They've won eight straight. They've only allowed their opposition to score 70 points one time. I don't know about this game could go either way. You know, with BYU's ability to live and die by the three, you know, you just don't ever know how some of these games will take off, because early on you get a lot of jitters in some of these games, like early on in the game, yeah.
And you don't know what to expect, especially for a team like Duquesne that hasn't been to the tournament since 1977. Like, it's a big deal to them and their fan base, and yeah. How will they respond?
And after they could absolutely just come out flat as anything.
Yeah, it's – you just don't know.
You know, it could happen. I'll tell you on my end, I've been pretty high on BYU all season long. I think that they actually maybe should have been a 5 seed here instead of a 6.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here in this game. I feel like they have a really good team.
I'm going to take BYU. I just don't know. I like this Duquesne team, but at the same time,
they have some centers who can shoot the ball. They got, I mean, everybody on the team can shoot. I mean, they got a really good team, and I've been pretty high on them. So I'm going to take BYU in this one. But you got to give a shout out to Duquesne here for making the tournament first time since 1977. That is a long, long drought. So,
I'm taking BYU, by the way, too. But the thing about it is BYU to me is very inconsistent at times. And this is a game where you could see them maybe looking bad in. But I'm gonna roll the marble and I'm gonna pick BYU in this game. But I really like this backcourt of Duquesne. I think they got a really good backcourt. They're fun to watch, even though they play a slower tempo. I think they could give BYU some fits.
I mean, it is a 6-11 game. I was told, I was doing a little research, and I know everybody has always talks about the 5-12 game, but over the last 10 years, the 6-11 game has been one of the more likely upsets, even more so than the 5-12. Just to give you a little tidbit there. All right, so we're going to go to the next game. We got 3 Illinois versus 14 Morehead State.
I like Illinois in this game. I just don't think Morehead State's going to be able to contain Shannon and Domask. They play really great offensively. Now, their defense at times just kind of whip and wham. You just don't ever know what you'll get, Illinois. But Morehead State, for me, has not played a team at this level all year long. Illinois is the class of the lower half, I think, of the East region. And I think Illinois, honestly, gets out of this region and gets to the Sweet 16. Terrence Shanning Jr. is the best player in the country. Well, if you want to be fair, there's plenty of guys that are great players in the country. And he's just at least one of them. He can take over a game real quick. So, Illinois in this game.
He was named All-American.
Yeah, that's a fact. Give me Illinois in this game. Sorry, Morehead State. I know it's a Kentucky school, but
you're going to be
it's a tough matchup for Morehead State, I think. I think this Illinois team with Shannon is just a really, really good team. So,
and their makeup on offense is, you know, if you watched them in the Big Ten tournament, they can just turn it on at any time, and they can score with just about anybody in the country. And, you know, that says a lot about what Brad Underwood's done in Illinois with his group.
Yeah. And, you know, Morehead State, Kentucky school, who has done really, really good stuff over the last few years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to give them a shout out for getting in, making this tournament. One of three Kentucky schools that's made the tournament this year, I think.
I think it was three. Yeah.
I think it was three. But I'm going to take Illinois in this one as well. And then our bottom of this bracket is Washington, number seven, Washington State versus number 10, Drake. Now, this one's kind of a toss-up, if you ask me. So
I'll be honest with you, man. This could be a fun matchup. You know, you got Isaac Jones that plays for Washington State. He's really tough. You got Tucker DeFries that plays for Drake. This should be a really fun 7-10 matchup. And I think whoever wins this game is going to have a decent shot at beating Iowa State. Because I'm going to be honest with you, man. I know Iowa State's number two seed. I know they playing well coming to the tourney, but I just don't trust them, man. Like, I've liked them all.
Even if they put a 28 spot on Houston?
I know. It's past performances.
Yeah, Houston at 41. They made Houston look like Virginia.
The problem with – the thing with me is their past tournament experiences. They just can't seem to get
– But they looked pretty good in the Big 12 tournament.
They did. But I think Washington State or Drake can give them a battle in that second game, given whoever wins that game, which I think will be Drake. I'm gonna choose Drake on this one. I think Drake and Tucker DeFries wins this one.
That's where I've been leaning on this one as well, is taking the 10 seed in this one and kind of taking the upset. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people consider the 7-10 really an upset. I know the 6-11 is, but I'm not so sure that the 7-10 is really considered an upset. I know 8-9 is not, but I'm going to take the 10 seed here and take Drake. I really feel like this is a really good Drake team who, you know, was in the Missouri Valley with Indiana State. And Drake comes out on top here and gets in. Indiana State, because of some bid stealers, did not get in. And I think this Drake team's ready to make a little bit of noise here and at least win in the first round here. So that's where I'm going to go. Our next game is Iowa State versus South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Iowa State's 2 and South Dakota State is the 15 seed.
Yeah, I think this line's too high, but I think Iowa State takes care of business here. But South Dakota State has a fun player in Zeke Mayo. If you've never watched him play, he's a fun player to watch. And the thing about South Dakota State is they're very good with ball security. They're not going to turn over a lot. So they're going to be kind of precise in what they do offensively. So you never know about a game, but I think I'm going to take my chances with the Cyclones in this one. I think, you know, I don't think they cover the spread, but I think they win this game comfortably.
Yeah, I'm taking Iowa State in this game. Look, they have played – I was not real high on them, but down the stretch, the way they played in the Big 12 and finished – the way they finished in the Big 12 and then winning the Big 12 and the way they just manhandled Houston. Like I said, they made Houston look like Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, quite honestly. Defense – What is separating Iowa State here is the way that they play defense.
Yeah, and they finally got some shooters that can shoot this year.
Yeah.
And that's a plus. And to add to that, with the Sweet 16, I got Illinois moving on, and I got Iowa State moving on, just so everybody knows. Okay. I'm still not high on Iowa State, but I think they can get past these two rounds.
So to look ahead to, I guess these games would be on Saturday if they're Thursday games. To look ahead, I've got the upset here. I told you I've kind of been on BYU. I've got BYU over Illinois, and I also have Iowa State moving on over Drake.
So I got Illinois and Iowa State in the Sweet 16. So
yeah, and I got BYU.
That would be a fun matchup, offense versus defense. Which one collapsed first? You know,
right. And I got BYU over Iowa State. I mean, BYU and Iowa State, not over. Sorry, going to the Sweet 16.
Hey, we'd have a 12 Sweet 16 again. BYU's in the Big 12 now, so.
Yep, they are. I mean, I think the BYU Illinois game could easily go either way, but I picked BYU, so I'm going to stick with it. And then if you go to the bottom left of your bracket, we're going to go to the West. The West, the number one seed is North Carolina.
These are the Thursday games.
Okay. The number one North Carolina is playing number 16, Wagner. Wagner won last night in the play-in game, beat Howard, was the first – winner of the tournament, of the 2024 NCAA tournament. So they've already got a game in and got a win. But they are going up against North Carolina here. So
I'm just going to be honest with you. Wagner's had a really great year. You know, they won their conference tournament. But this is where the rope meets the rubber, or the road meets the rubber meets the road. They're going to get blown out in Charlotte, unfortunately. They're going to get run off the floor by North Carolina. North Carolina is a really good basketball team. And RJ Davis might be the best point guard in the country.
He's up there. That's for sure. Tyler Kolek. I mean, you know, there's a few of them, but he's up there. That's for sure. I mean, listen, guys, it's a 1-16. Yes, I know that a 16 beat a 1 last year, but it's only happened twice. So, you know. I'm taking North Carolina in this game. Wagner got their win last night. They can claim a win in the NCAA tournament. And I wanted to speak on that, on these play-in games. For these small schools, these 16 teams that play these play-in games, it's a big deal to get into these tournaments for a team like Wagner and Howard to go at it and to get a win in the NCAA tournament.
Well, the thing I tell people with these playing games, it's a chance for some of these young guys and guys that's never played on the big stage to get to play in front of a TV and audience.
Well, I mean, you know, Wagner gets to come in now and play two games as a 16 seed and get a win in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. So
they can claim that from now to eternity that they won a game.
They won a game,
in the NCAA tournament. It's a big deal to these tiny schools and these small schools.
Yeah, these mid-major schools.
All right, so the 8-9 matchup here is a really, really good one. We got
and if nobody knows, this is the game that tips off the first day tomorrow.
Okay,
it's the opening game.
Well, this is a really, really good game. This is Mississippi State is the 8 and Michigan State is the 9. You got. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Tom Izzo here versus Jans. I mean, this is a really, really intriguing matchup. Hall versus Tulu Smith.
If you've not watched Mississippi State this year, I feel sorry for you because Josh Hubbard is a gamer. I think he's poised for a big showing here. Now, I think Tulu Smith will have a big way in this game. Sisisco that plays for Michigan State, that'll be a battle with him and Smith in the paint.
Matthews down low for Mississippi State.
Listen, he's not the scorer that Tulu is, and I think this will result in a loss. I think he'll have his way in the middle, and Mississippi State moves on to play North Carolina. Michigan State has just been so iffy all year long, and I just
John, that's really kind of I think Josh Hubbard is the difference maker here. Josh Hubbard's been, I mean, almost every game, the last 10 games or so, he's been doing 24, 28, 32, 34, 30, 28. I mean, if you look, Josh Hubbard has been on fire for Mississippi State. And I think he's the difference maker here. I'm not sure that Michigan State has a guy like that. And
now
I normally, guys, am a huge Michigan State guy.
I wouldn't say Jaden Atkins is that guy. I mean, Jaden Atkins is a good player, but he's not on the level of what a Hubbard would be.
Yeah. I mean,
in terms of shooting.
I just don't feel like that Izzo has that guy this time because of that. Normally I pick Izzo, okay? Especially the early rounds, first, second round.
They're just so up and down.
I'm going Mississippi State here.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this.
Yeah. All right, our next one is 5 St. Mary's versus 12 Grand Canyon. This is a fire matchup for a 5-12 game. If you ask me,
I agree with you.
I love this matchup.
You know, Aiden Mahaney, my apologies. Aiden Mahaney is a really great shooter for St. Mary's. Grand Canyon has Tyon Foster. This might be the best Grand Canyon team that Bryce Drew has had since he's been there. And that's why.
Does Vanderbilt hire Bryce Drew?
Nah, they don't bring him back.
I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
That is why I have St. Mary's going to the Sweet 16 in my bracket. Or not St. Mary's, Grand Canyon. I think this is set up good for them. I think they can beat Alabama if they get there in the second game. So give me the Grand Canyon.
All right.
Go Lopes.
All right. So for me, guys, I mean, it's hard for me not to take Grand Canyon in this one. I kind of feel the same way.
But if I had to pick a team that was the biggest threat in this bracket, it'd be Alabama. But with Alabama, you just don't know what team you're going to get.
For the upset here over St. Mary's. I know they got the 5 seed, won the West Coast over Gonzaga, but I just really like this Grand Canyon team. I'm going to take the 12 seed here. And the next one we're going to talk about, and I'm going to go off. I'm going to let John talk. I've got to plug this computer in before we just go. So anyways, all right, so I'm going to go off and plug in and come back. But we're talking about 4 Alabama versus 13 Charleston.
You know, Nate Oates, you know, he plays an interesting style of basketball. You know, they push the pace. They space the floor. They jack up threes. This Alabama offense is the closest thing, I think, to a pro offense. I really like watching Nate Oates' team play. They generally performed up to expectations. Last year was a big exception, though. They lost to San Diego State in the Sweet 16. But we haven't really seen their style of play, how this would work in the later rounds. Only 3 teams in the field shoot from long range more often than Alabama, and one of those is Charleston, College of Charleston. I think they'll win this game. But if they draw a team like, say, St. Mary's or a team like, you know, Grand Canyon in the second round, I feel like they can hit it for another early exit. This Alabama team reminds me a little bit of Kentucky in a way, with the way they play D. You just don't know what you're going to get with them. But at the same time, they're fun to watch offensively. Alabama goes as Noah Sears goes. Not Noah Sears.
Mark Sears.
Mark Sears. Alabama goes as Mark Sears goes. If Mark Sears is having a great game, Alabama's having a great game. You just don't know what you're going to get with this Alabama group.
This game to me is a contrast to styles.
And I'll say this too, while we're on this topic, Pat Kelsey has done an amazing job at Charleston. What he's done there brought stability to that program, and what they've done, props to him and the Cougars.
Yeah, I mean, this is about contrast of styles here, if you ask me. You know, Alabama wants to run you, pull them out of the gym and score 110 points, 120 points. Mm-hmm. Charleston wants to kind of play half court, score 70 or 80.
But they can shoot the ball really well from the outside. They're good shooters.
They can. So. I'm taking Alabama in this one. I really like Mark Sears, Estrada. I felt, Mike, that I'm drawing a blank on his name, the big guy that came from North Dakota State.
Grant Nelson.
Grant Nelson, thank you. I was drawing a blank on his name. I feel like Nelson kind of was coming into his own down the end here of the season. But they have had a few struggles.
Mm-hmm. They haven't really looked like
– they ran into some buzzsaws against Florida twice, Kentucky. But I am going to take Bama in this one. I feel
I'm taking the safe route here with Alabama, but I'd be hard-pressed not to pick an upset here, though.
All right. Our next one. We're going to go down to the bottom side of this bracket, guys, and we're going to talk about Clemson, 6 seed versus number 11, New Mexico.
This should be a fun game. You know, you got Jalen House, you got P.J. Hall, you got Jamal Mashburn. You got a bunch of NBA guys, kids playing in this game. You know, Jalen House with Eddie House. Then you got Jamal Mashburn. With Jamal Mashburn Jr. And then you got Toppin, the big boy in the middle, which is Obi Toppin and Jacob Toppin's little brother. So there's a lot of storylines in this game. I'll be honest with you, man. The way New Mexico is playing right now, I'd be afraid not to pick them. And the way Clemson has ended the year, I don't know. It's just hard-pressed for me to pick Clemson with the way they're playing right now.
Listen, I have been high on Clemson all year long.
I have too.
I've been saying that they were going to come on. I've been saying that they were going to win games. I said they were going to be the sleeper in the ACC tournament.
And they laid an egg.
But they just haven't. They went 11-9 in the ACC. I don't think the ACC was all that difficult. Mm-hmm. You take Duke and North Carolina out. I mean, look at Virginia. They were third in the ACC.
That tells you what kind of conference it is.
I mean, I feel like this Clemson team – with Hall, P.J. Hall, and, you know, they have two or three guards. I feel like they have a really, really good team. The transfer from Syracuse. I mean, but here's my deal. I also have been very high on New Mexico since last season. And last season, the wheels fell off the last eight ball games. And they missed the tournament. This year, they made a hell of a run the last 3 weeks to get in this field. The last week, but the last 3 weeks, if you go back and look. Like you said, John, they are full of former NBA players' sons. And Rick Pitino's son coaches them.
Yeah, there's a lot of NBA stuff around this game.
Yep. I am picking the upset here. I'm taking New Mexico.
I am too.
And I know some of the fanboys people that's going to be here is going to say that's not right, but I'm sorry. I've gave you guys chances. I don't know how many games here on Game Day Pick'em and picking you guys all season long. And every time I do, y'all mess me up. So
good luck.
Here we go. I'm going with the Lobos.
Yep.
Los Lobo.
Los Lobo. Yep.
All right. 3 Baylor versus 14 Colgate.
I like Baylor in this game.
Not the toothpaste.
Yeah, not the toothpaste. I like Baylor in this game. I just think Baylor has too many guards for Colgate. Colgate's a really good team, but they're gonna be matched up with a really good guard-oriented team in Baylor. And I think Baylor gets to the second round. While I'm at it, I'm just going to go with the way I think. I think Baylor gets the Sweet 16 in this section. I think they end up beating New Mexico and going to the Sweet 16.
All right. I'm going with Baylor in this game as well. I just feel like Colgate is overmatched here in this game. So give me the Baylor Bears. Our next game we're going to talk about is the 7-10. You got Dayton as the 7, Nevada as the 10 in the West bracket here. What do you think about this one?
I like this Nevada team. I also like this Dayton team. But when you only got one player really doing anything for Dayton, which they got a few other guys, role players, but Deron Holmes is their main cog. And when he's not on, Dayton is not on. And I think this is a game where it's going to be interesting with the style of play, the way they bring it out, because both of them play like a certain type of same style of play. It just all depends on which Nevada team shows up. If you get the Nevada team that went through the Mountain West the last, 2 weeks and just ran rampant on everybody, you're going to get a tough team in the first round. If you get the Nevada team that played like they did against Colorado State in the opening round of the tournament, you got a chance to beat them. So it just all depends on where Nevada plays at and how they play starting the game. But I think I'm going to go Nevada in this game. I like the 10-7, which everybody thinks that's an upset, but I don't consider it an upset, honestly. It's more of just a pick'em game.
Dayton, for me, I know they got Deron Holmes, but, I mean, they really haven't played up to par the last three or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like. They didn't close. They were number one in the A-10 two-thirds of the way through the year. They finished third in the regular season in the A-10, Atlantic 10. And then they get beat out in the tournament, didn't make the finals. I mean, get beat out in the tournament. I mean, I don't feel like Dayton has played well. For me, Nevada has. They finished second in the Mountain West. And I don't think the Mountain West got any love in this bracket at all, except for San Diego State.
No.
They got a 5 seed, which San Diego State got the highest seed, and they finished like 5th or something in the conference. But I'm taking Nevada here.
Yeah, I like Nevada here.
Yeah, I'm just not in love with the way Dayton played down the stretch. So I'm taking Nevada here. Then we got number 2 Arizona versus 15 Long Beach State in the West.
I'm gonna say here, Tubelis has been a second team All American this year. They got Balo, a dominant interior present in the paint. This is another team that can cut down the nets, but at the same time, they're a team that could lose in the opening round, second round. You just don't know what you're going to get with this Arizona team. This Arizona team has been Jekyll and Hyde at times all year. They had some losses to Stanford early in the year. Now I don't think they're going to pull another Princeton from a year ago. I think they take care of Long Beach State. But shout out to Dan Munson. You know,
that's where I was going to go with this.
Which it was a mutual thing between them and the athletics.
Been there what 17 years or something like that? 14 years.
He was let go on that Monday, and then he ended up winning the whole tournament.
And got his team into.
I think it wasn't the Big West, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah. So, ended up winning the whole thing and just shocking everybody. And now he's in the NCAA tournament. Congrats to you.
You got to give Monson a big, big shout out here. Got fired. It was a mutual agreement. I mean, but lost his job. And then, you know, they tell him he can finish the year out. They think he's probably going to go there and get beat first or second game. And they win the whole damn thing. And they're sitting at the 15 seed, you know, here against Arizona. However, I don't believe that they're going to be too much of a problem for Arizona. Mm-hmm. I am picking the Wildcats here.
I got Baylor and Arizona in the Sweet 16. So,
well, I'm going to mix it up here. I've got New Mexico surprising Baylor and Arizona. That's where I'm going to go. I really like this New Mexico team.
I think they're good. I think they have the most talented roster.
They've been hot down the stretch here. I feel like they might be one of the Cinderellas of the tournament here and kind of get to the Sweet 16.
We have two more regions, so let's go. Yep.
So I'm picking New Mexico and Arizona. All right, the East region is the one we're going to do next.
Now, this is the region
top right on the brackets, if you're looking at the brackets.
No, this is the South.
What's that?
This is the South region. Houston's the South.
What did I say?
You said the East.
Oh, I'm sorry. We already did the East.
Yeah.
We already did the East.
Yeah, we already did the East. Yeah.
We already did the East. I meant South. This is the top right, the South. I meant that. I don't know why I said that.
A few of these games are – well, actually, these games are Friday. So, all these games are Friday.
Well, the first game in the top of this bracket is number one Houston versus 16 Longwood.
I got Houston. Longwood don't stand a chance in this game. And I'm not going to try to get into a big debate here. Houston's got a really great defense. Congrats to Longwood, but they're in for a tough night in this game.
Yeah, and Houston's coming off of a butt whooping.
They are.
And they haven't taken a whooping like that in two or three years. So look for them to come out a little angry in this game. I wouldn't want to be Longwood if I was them.
I'm going to tell you, and then you reach this 8-9 game, and I'm going to say this. I really like this matchup.
NCAA is kind of funny in this one, by the way, because the women play the same thing, and you got the Trevor Alberts thing going on. NCAA, come on now. I mean, really?
Yeah, and here's another thing, too. You know, you got Tominaga. For Nebraska, the Steph Curry, I call him the Steph Curry. He's not afraid of any shot. And then you got Tyrese Radford and Wade Taylor on the other side with their guard play. I'll say this. Texas A&M is a wild card here. And I say that because I think they have the guards to compete with Houston.
They do.
With Houston. I'm not saying they'll upset Houston. I'm saying they got the guards to compete with them.
I think they can give Houston a scare if you know, Boots and Taylor is playing right.
If they're playing right, yeah.
I'm going in this 8-9 matchup. I'm going Texas A&M. I feel like they
found Nebraska has. Well, and the thing about Nebraska, I love this.
Baskin has come on down the stretch. I think they found something down the stretch the last 5, 6, 7 games that they didn't have most of this year, and he's been scoring, you know, 14, 18 for them. I think they really found something down the stretch on this team.
Well, the thing about this Nebraska team, they're just so inconsistent away from home. They're just not a real good team away from home. And that's an issue but which they won't be home this. They'll be a neutral court, but still, they've been tough away from their home environment. So,
yeah. So I'm taking Texas A&M here. Then we go to the 5-12 matchup, Wisconsin versus James Madison.
This is a possible upset region here, I think, because you got a team like James Madison that likes to play fast, do things, you know, get after balls, you know, get rebounds. I think they're going to make Wisconsin very uncomfortable in this game. I'm not saying Wisconsin's going to lose this game, but I'd be weary of that first round game with the Dukes because the Dukes can play basketball.
Yeah, you know, this is a game that I think James Madison is going to be right there. And it depends if Wisconsin gets tight in these games. What happens in these, you know, in a lot of these close tourney games when you're playing a team like a James Madison?
And I'm going to tell you something, man.
The game gets tight and it's late and you feel the pressure and you start making mistakes as the, you know, as the top rated team in this one. And then you wind up, they hit a shot and they beat you. That's how that happens.
I'm going to tell you something, man. The duo of Terrence Edwards Jr. and TJ Bickerstaff and the way they play these this up-tempo style, all year long they've wore opponents out with it.
And that's my that's the reason why I think they have a real chance here with Wisconsin, because Wisconsin don't want to play that up-tempo style.
Uh-uh. And I think this will be a popular pick for an upset by many people. I just think they got a tough draw with Wisconsin, I think, because of their defensive pressure and their style.
I'm going to go with the upset.
But
I'm going to go with it and go James Madison.
That's where I was going. I was going with JMU too. So
yeah, I think I'm going to go with it and go with James Madison here in the upset in this one. And then we got Duke versus Vermont. Vermont
this is
made the tournament. Seems like five years in a row.
This is a sneaky game, man.
It seems like they've made the tournament like every year. Seems like
this is one of these sneaky games. Duke has lost three of their last six, including to North Carolina and NC State. This team is so up and down. But the biggest thing with this Duke team, I've said all year, they haven't gotten a stop when it matters in the crunch time. They haven't been able to get any stops.
It's time for Jeremy Roach, a senior, to step up if they're going to do anything here in this tournament. And
their defense is a real issue going forward.
Guys, Jeremy Roach is a senior. I think that it just sounds crazy. Like, didn't he just show up there like a year or two ago?
I think Vermont will give them a tight game, but I think Duke ends up winning this game.
That's kind of where I am. I know Duke has struggled some down the stretch here, but they took an early loss. They took an early loss last year in the tournament.
I say this. Watch out for the Dukes in that second game, Duke. I'm telling you, man, if you – and that's where I'm going with this. I think JMU gets the Sweet 16. I think the path is there.
Okay. Well, my winners, my I guess Sunday winners here are going to be Houston and Duke.
I can't trust Duke, especially with their defense the way it is right now. It's a real problem.
Yeah, but I don't – outside of James Madison, I will say James Madison might have a shot here. But I don't trust Wisconsin either. So, there's really no team here that if I was picking that I would pick. But you got to pick one of them. Yeah, so, I'm going Houston and Duke.
Yep.
Our next one here in the bottom of this bracket is Texas Tech, 6 seed, versus number 11, NC State.
These are the Thursday games.
Yep.
Let's see here. if Washington might not play, I don't even know if the big man for Texas Tech is even going to play tomorrow. If it is, I think this spread would be a lot higher. Enticing as it is to bet on NC State in this game after their ACC run, I just think their legs are going to be worn out. That's just my take on it. They do got a really great player in DJ Burns. He's a beast in the middle. He can get after rebounds. He can
got such a good touch.
And his feet. He knows how to move his feet better than anybody in the country.
But his shot is so soft. It can just hit the rim a few times and goes in. He's got such good touch.
I think where this game is won is Texas Tech is a really balanced team. And, you know, I think the Red Raiders, I think NC State's perimeter D is 280th in the country. And I think Texas Tech's going to exploit that, and they're going to hit some shots.
That's where I am. I know that NC State is kind of the darlings right now, and they've been, you know, people are picking them here. I just, it's hard for me to pick a team that went 9-11 in the ACC to beat Texas Tech, who is one of the top three teams in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time doing that. I'm going Texas Tech here game.
That's where I got this one going. So
yeah, I'm going Texas Tech in this one. And then we get to Kentucky here. Kentucky is the 3 seed playing 14 Oakland.
I'm going to say this.
This is tomorrow Oakland, night at 7.
Oakland is a fun story for the college basketball fans, but I just think it ends tomorrow. I've watched a little tape on Oakland. They're just not efficient enough offensively for me to keep pace with Kentucky. You know, Oakland might keep this game close for a while, maybe first 15 minutes, but it's going to be tough sledding. Kentucky's really good from deep, and Oakland's perimeter defense is really bad. They're 237th in opponents' 3-point percentage rate. And the Kentucky has a big significant edge on the glass too. I think just where the high tempo, you know, Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepherd thing, I think Kentucky advances into the second round, and I think they cover the spread and they advance tomorrow night without giving Kentucky fans any heart attacks after the game. So
that's kind of where I'm leaning with this one too, John. I just don't know that this Oakland team can – I mean, they're a good team, and I'm not going to say that Kentucky's going to rout them. That's not what I'm saying. I think it's a 10 to 15 point win tomorrow.
I'm going to say this.
Fairly comfortable.
Their coach made a comment today, said that we didn't have no bigs in the middle, in the post. And Trey Mitchell kind of took offense to it. And I look for Kentucky. That might be coaches speak, whatever. But
yeah.
I think Kentucky will come out and punched them in the mouth early. I could be wrong, but I think they do what they need to do tomorrow and then win.
Yeah.
But I will say this.
This is a game I'm not real worried about, but 2 years ago I wasn't worried about a team either, and look what happened. So
I will say this about Oakland. They have a really good big man in Trey Townsend. He's one of the best big men in the country.
They do. Townsend is really good. And one other thing that I want to say about Oakland here is Kentucky – better recognize their shooter. And I'm not talking about Townsend. They have a guy that has shot 327 three-pointers this year and he's made 121 three-pointers, which leads the NCAA Division I in three-pointers made. So they better find him. Because if they let this guy get hot and hit 7 or 8 threes, then Oakland's going to be in this game. So there you go. There's your couple. That's the two guys, the shooter and Townsend. That's the two guys that you got to really take away. You're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just.
Yeah, there you go.
I think Kentucky advances.
Yeah, I am too. I'm taking Kentucky. We'll move on to 7-seed Florida versus the winner, who is playing right now, Boise State in Colorado. They're the 10-seed. And I don't have it up, so I'm not sure who's leading.
Let me go check real quick.
But they are playing right now, Boise State in Colorado. They will be the 10 seed. Florida is the 7 seed in this one. Jerry Carter. Yeah, bulletin board material for the coach. I agree.
It's 13-12 with 7 minutes to go in the first half. Another Virginia type.
Wow. 13-12 and there's only seven minutes to go?
Yes.
Okay. That's a barn burner right there.
I have Boise win this game. That's what I had in my bracket. I have Florida win this game. I take that back. But I have Boise winning the play-in game. So I have Florida winning this game. I think Florida's guards will be the difference in this game.
This one's tough for me. I mean, Florida, I feel bad for them. They lost their big guy last year, right before NCAA tournament.
Yep.
And now they lost a backup big guy this year, the NCAA tournament. This is 2 years in a row with major leg injuries. I feel bad for them. So give me Florida in this one. I think their guards is going to carry them in this first round game. So give me Florida here as the win. Clayton Jr. is just – and what's the other one's name that got the
– Zion Pullen.
Pullen.
They got Pullen. And then they got the other guy. I can't think
that was good last year.
Yeah, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But,
yeah.
Porter's guards are really tough. I think Ford ends up winning. And this other one, congratulations, Western Kentucky.
Got to give a huge shout-out to Western Kentucky. First-year coach gets them in. They hadn't been in 11 years since 2013. Got to give a huge shout-out. Also, Dante Allen is on this team. Mm-hmm. He has been a partial starter this year for them, on and off, averaging about 8 or 9 points a game, senior.
Here's my thing with the whole Marquette deal, and I love this Marquette team, by the way. It's all about – and not even this game. It's all about the status and the health of Tyler Kolick. If he's healthy enough, I think this Marquette team
– Yeah, Tyler Kolick has missed some games towards the end of this season. And makes a huge difference for this Marquette.
Give me Marquette in this game. I think they win it pretty decisively.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't go with the Hilltoppers here. I would like to go with the Hilltoppers here. I'm not too far from Bowling Green. And actually, my dad graduated from there.
On top of that, I got Kentucky beating Texas Tech in the second game. And then I got Marquette beating Florida. I just think Marquette, their guard play is just a little tad better than Florida's. And I think you'll see.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to. That's the two that I have going to the Sweet 16.
And I think you'll see
Marquette.
And you'll see a Dwayne Wade part two.
Yeah.
Kentucky and Marquette.
Yeah.
And Trevor Berry, if you're out there, I know that you're watching. I know you would be excited about a Kentucky Marquette game. He's a big Marquette fan. My buddy Trevor on Twitter, so he likes Marquette. So he would like that matchup for sure.
All right, so that concludes the South. Now we're going to the bottom right.
By the way, I didn't pick my Sweet 16 above. I think James Madison goes, and then I think Houston goes. I think Texas A&M gives them a fight, but I just think the end of it, Houston's got too much guard play and too much defense, and I think they go the
All right, so you're talking about this one in the South.
Yeah, I think they go the Sweet 16. And I think James Madison shocks the world and goes to the Sweet 16. They get to play in Texas.
Okay. So, well, we're going to switch up and go
the region, to the Midwest. The region of upsets is what I call this one.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the Midwest has some very good potential for some chaos here in this region. The number one seed is Purdue taking on the 16 seed. Now, Grambling won in overtime after I was typing this up this evening. The game was still going on when I did this. But Purdue is taking on Grambling as the 16.
Purdue, you're safe this year.
Yeah.
You win a game. I think they win this game.
Yeah, I just don't see Grambling being able to stay with Purdue here, guys. Grambling again, just like Wagner, what I was talking about. This is their first time ever, I think, in the dance.
I'll say this.
For Grambling, Purdue, they got to win, guys. In overtime, they got to win in their first time ever. It's huge for them.
Here's the thing about Purdue. The last few years, they've been playing with their food in the tournament games early in the year, early in the rounds. They can't afford to do that against some of these teams. They're going to have to do what Purdue does and put them away early if they want to get past this cloud of we can't beat it, we can't win a tournament game. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So the 8-9 matchup here, Utah State gets an 8 seed. I've been saying they should have been a 6 all week long since the brackets come out on Sunday. All
right, Utah State in this game.
Utah State's the 8, TCU's the 9.
Utah State is my pick in this one. I think TCU is just – they're too overrated right now. They haven't really played good down the stretch, and I think Utah State wins that game. If you haven't watched Utah State,
they have Mountain West is way better than they were given credit for here. They won the regular season, Mountain West. Utah State did. They were the winner here.
They got a great player in Darius Brown. If you've never watched him play, he can shoot the ball.
These are tested teams with 6 teams in the tournament here. I think TCU is going to run into a team here that they're not expecting to be as great as Utah State is. I'm taking Utah State in this one.
And on this 12-5 matchup, I got McNeese State.
Gonzaga's the 5. I think they were overseeded. McNeese State is the 12. You got Will Wade here at McNeese State in the tournament.
Rashad Wells might be one of the best players in the country that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
He can absolutely pull, man. Now, these guys on the Mr. McNeese State team, they got some dogs, man. They got some players. And they're not afraid to handle
Ike in the middle, because that's what scares me.
There's a couple guys that can put on Ike that can neutralize him, but I think he'll get his points. But I think McNeese State wins this game. I do. And I'm going to go as far as saying this. I don't think Kansas beats Samford.
Yeah, that's going to be mine, actually. You're going to have
McNeese State and Samford playing for a trip to the Sweet 16.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. That's what my bracket looks like. I have McNeese State and Samford as a 12-13
game. If you don't know about Buckyball, you're getting ready to get introduced to it.
I'm telling you guys, I just have a feeling that this is the upset bracket here. I'm going McNeese State 12 over Gonzaga. And then we got Kansas, the 4 seed, who has some injury issues. McCullough is not playing. Come out during yesterday.
During the whole tournament. He's not even
during the whole tournament. He's out. Kevin McCullough Jr. is out. Hunter Dickinson is supposed to play, but with McCullough being out, I'm telling you, if you guys have not seen Samford play ball, they scored 132 points in a game this year. They scored 120-some points, 121 or 122 in a game. They scored 112 in a game. I mean, if you have not seen this team play ball, you need to watch this game. They are fun to watch. Buckyball. The coach's name is Bucky.
I tell you, man, they got some really good players. They got They got Jaden Campbell. He was from Florida Southwestern. They got Jermaine Marshall. He was a transfer from Akron. I think they got the kid in the middle? Anchor. Anchor is a load in the paint. If you've never watched him play, that kid can actually get after it. So, Kansas, you better be prepared for Buckyball is all I can say.
I'm telling y'all right now, this is the game right here. This is the one. I think this is an absolute nightmare matchup for Kansas in the first round. I think they could have gotten anybody else as a 4 seed or 3 or even a 5 seed. I think this Samford team is a nightmare matchup for them. I just do.
And as far as the Sweet 16 goes, I got Purdue beating Utah State in the second game. And then I got Samford going to the Sweet 16. Buckyball gets to the Sweet 16.
The McNeese State Samford game, I've got a couple of brackets. I went McNeese State in one. I went Samford in another. I've been all over the map with this game. I think it could actually go either way. I am taking Purdue to make the Sweet 16 here. But here tonight, I'll give you – I think I'm going Samford. I really, really like this Samford team.
But I think going forward, that's where it ends. I think Purdue gets to the Elite Eight. I think they're going to –
Interesting enough, Purdue is the only team ever – to lose to a 13 or higher seed 3 straight years.
You know what this kind of feels like? I know that it might be anything, but I look at it like the year that Virginia lost to UMBC, and then they come back the next year and win it all. Like, this feels like that kind of thing with Purdue. Not saying Purdue's going to win it all.
I'm just telling y'all, if they match up in the Sweet 16 against the 13 Samford, and they get knocked out again, that'll be 4 years in a row they've been knocked out by a 13 seed or higher. Yep. I'm just saying. Just want to put that out there. Just say it.
We have how many more games left? Just the rest of them?
Yep. This is it. All right. So we got 6 seed South Carolina versus Oregon. This has been a hot pick here in this one. Oregon's got a big man that didn't play. He's only played about 19 games this year. He's been coming on down the stretch and playing really, really well. Carried them to the Pac-12 championship. That's how they got in the tournament. And so it's a 6-11, John. What do you think about this?
I like this South Carolina team. You know, I love Michi Johnson. I love, you know, Cooper. They got a really good, fun team. This could be a bounce-back spot, I think, for the Gamecocks. You know, Oregon's coming off a big win in the Pac-12 tournament, while South Carolina got blown off the court by Auburn. I think they're going to be prepared and ready to go in this game. And I'll say this, if you've never watched Nafali Dante play, plays for Oregon, the big man in the middle. He can absolutely get after it.
He's the one I was talking about. He missed. He's only played about 18 or 19 games.
This is probably the best 6-11 matchup out there besides New Mexico and Clemson, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm going to slide to the edge of South Carolina here. I think South Carolina just has better guards. I think they got better shooters. I think their defense prevails in this one.
That's where I've gone to. I've read up on Oregon here and their big guy and how well he's been playing. But, man, guards win tournament games. And on top of that, South Carolina plays tenacious defense. And I just feel like defense and guard play is going to win this game. So, for me, I'm going South Carolina here as well. Yep. But Oregon has been playing really, really well lately. And their big guy has really come on.
And I'll say this on the next game with Creighton. I think this is a horrible matchup for Akron.
You got 3 Creighton, 14 Akron here in this game.
I feel like this is if we had to really pick out of the worst seeding lines, I think this is the worst 14 seed that Creighton could have got. Probably next to maybe Vermont, maybe on the 13 line.
Yeah.
But I just think Creighton's got too much. You know, they got Baylor Shireman. You know, they got the big boy in the middle, Kalkbrenner, Ashford. This is a really good, fun team, Creighton. And when Creighton gets going offensively, they can beat you from different areas of the court. And what Doug McDermott – not Doug McDermott, his dad.
His dad. It's
can't think of it.
It's McDermott. Dylan?
No, I can't think of his name. But anyways, Coach McDermott, he's had a really great year. He's a really great coach. And I think Creighton pulls away in this game.
Yeah, I'm going Creighton in this one, too. I think they're just too much for Akron here. Creighton, I mean, they put a whooping on UConn about two or three weeks ago. I mean, I just don't see Creighton being able to beat this. I mean, Akron being able to beat this.
Greg McDermott is who it was.
Greg McDermott. I knew. I couldn't think what it is either.
It's getting late. It's getting late here. We've been going for a while.
Especially when you put me on the spot and I'm trying to sit here and think of a name. Then I'm like, oh, shit, I keep thinking.
And then on this.
All right.
I wouldn't be shocked.
So we got seven Texas.
I wouldn't be shocked if Colorado State won this game, to be honest.
Yeah, versus 10 Colorado State.
I wouldn't be shocked if Colorado State won this game just for the mere fact that Texas has been so inconsistent. But I'm going to go with Texas in this game because I think Dylan DeSue is going to show up. I think they're going to have a good showing here in this early round. And I think they take out Colorado State. This might be one of the best 7-10 matchups we got, too, next to Drake and Washington State. So
got a couple of people here taking the Ducks, it looks like, well, instead of South Carolina.
That's their opinion. I just think Dar play wins in the tournament. And
don't get me wrong,
Oregon's got some good guards, but they don't have the type of guards that South Carolina's got.
So I'm going Texas in this game. And I think part of it is the UT-UT matchup, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to see which one's got the uglier orange.
Mm-hmm. Here's the funny thing about all this. Here's the funny thing about all this, this whole thing going down, is Tennessee draws St. Peter's, a team that beat Kentucky 2 years ago.
New Tennessee gets 15 St. Peter's, who is the one that knocked out Kentucky and Purdue, by the way, 2 years ago in the Sweet 16. They knocked out Purdue as well. I'm telling you, man,
if St. Peter's gets on a run and, you know, starts hitting shots like they did 2 years ago, that crowd, that fan base going to get behind them, man. They're going to, you know. I heard a fan say something the other night. I thought it was really funny. He said, God, I'm not asking for much. He's talking about St. Peter's with Tennessee. It was on Twitter.
Listen, Tennessee fans, if you think that I am wishing and praying, okay, if you think I am praying for St. Peter's to beat you, then you are out of your mind because I don't operate that way. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of Kentucky fans who are making jokes about it and that do. I'm not going to say that.
We're not like that, no.
But I'm not like that. Listen, I really think I like this Tennessee team. Hammond knows I have been talking about Dalton Connect here on College Sportscast all season long about just how great of a player and that you needed to watch him early on. I was talking
about. We got some amazing, like down this crack right here, we got some amazing storylines. You got South Carolina playing their former player, Oregon, Jermaine Cousinard. He plays for Oregon. Then you got Tennessee and possibly Texas playing with the Rich Barnes factor. So there's some good storylines in this.
I mean, listen, I really kind of like this Tennessee team, not like that kind of like, but I think this is a good team. I really do. I know they've laid an egg against – I mean, well, they come back and play pretty decent against Kentucky, but they lost in Knoxville. And then they did not play well in the SEC tournament. Lost the first game out to Mississippi State. So I think this Tennessee team can make a run. So I've got Tennessee winning over St. Peter's here. And then I've got Creighton and Tennessee winning the two games and moving on to the Sweet 16.
And that's who I got. I got Creighton and Tennessee going to Sweet 16. Before we get off here for the night, do you want me to give what the schedule looks like for tomorrow?
Yeah, sure, you can. Yeah, the
it's everybody would probably like to know. So tomorrow, this is tomorrow's schedule now. This is the day session, so bear with me. Michigan State plays Mississippi State at 12:15 on CBS. Duquesne and BYU play at 12:40. Akron and Creighton play the 1:30 game. 2:00 is Long Beach State. Where was I at? Akron, Creighton. Long Beach State, Arizona play at 2:00. 2:45 is Wagner, North Carolina. 3:10 is Morehead State in Illinois. 4:00 is Oregon in South Carolina. 4:30 is Nevada and Dayton. 6:50 is Colorado State in Texas. 7:10 is Oakland in Kentucky. 7:25 is McNeese in Gonzaga. 7:35 is South Dakota State and Iowa State. 9:20 is St. Peter's in Tennessee. 9:40 is NC State and Texas Tech. 9:55 is Samford and Kansas, which will be a late game, by the way. 10:05 is Drake and Washington State. And if you stay up that long, you might see a really good basketball game.
Yep. All right, guys. Before we log off here, we've got a bracket challenge going on. We've got one in men's and women's. If you're interested in the women's, you have till Friday at 11:00 to join the women's tournament as well. We will do a little bit of coverage here of the women's as well. Tonight, we went through the complete men's bracket. We probably will do a little bit.
Are you sure you don't want to go through the women's bracket tonight?
No, we're not going through it tonight. But we will talk about more of the women's bracket after the first weekend here.
I got to give you a whole way to go. We've been at it for like almost 2 hours.
But go to CBS Bracket Challenge, all right, CBS Sports, and look up College Sportscast, and we have a bracket. You can still get in. We have around 33 to 35 people in our bracket right now. We've got a pretty good bracket going on. Love to get more and more, so invite your friends, invite your family, and you can get in before 11:15 Eastern tomorrow is the cutoff.
And by the way, Daniel Head said, have you seen how well the Cats are playing in baseball? Yes, I have. They've been playing really well.
Yes, they're doing really well. And we're me and John Roberts are talking a little baseball here and there when we're doing the show and stuff as well.
And actually,
and he's covering Auburn baseball.
Auburn has a big series this weekend with Arkansas. That should be a fun
series. We are covering a little SEC baseball here. John Roberts is covering as media for Auburn.
As we always say, let the games begin.
Hey, it is March Madness, guys. Please join our bracket. It's March Madness. The winner of our brackets will get a 20% discount at Home Field Apparel. So you get a really good prize here for the winner of our brackets. You're going to get
Andrew Schaefer's on. One of the guys from the Spaces.
All right, so we will not be on. We got the tournament. We will be on Sunday night. Right now, I've tentatively set it for 6 p.m. I don't know exactly what the schedule is going to look like on Sunday night.
By the way, quick thing here. You want me to update the NIT tonight? What happened in NIT?
Quickly, we're going to be about out of time.
Wake Forest beat Appalachian State 87-76. UNLV beat Princeton 84-77. Bradley beat Loyola Chicago 74-62. Indiana State, your darling that was left out of the tournament, beat SMU 101-92. They scored more points than Virginia did, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yet they're out of the tournament. That don't make no sense to me. Seton Hall beat St. Joseph's in overtime 75-72. Going on currently, Villanova leads VCU by 141-40, and San Francisco leads Cincinnati 48-47. So that's your up to date on the NIT.
All right, again, join our brackets. We got men's and women's on CBS Sports.
And by the way,
for college sports,
Travis Jennings said, "Do you have a link to the bracket?"
Yes, Travis. He is Travis. I know who you are. You're the bar banter, so I'll get it to you. I'll send it to you on Twitter, Travis, on your bar banter thing. So, yep. Okay, I got you. I'll get you, Travis. I know who you are.
What's up, Andrew Schaefer? Go Cuse. He likes Syracuse. He's a big Syracuse fan.
Yeah, Travis has been on the show here. We've been on his show, the Bar Banter show, Bar Banter. So I appreciate Travis. Travis, I'd love to have you in the bracket. I'll get you your link here in a few minutes.
Oh, Andrew replied. Damn yep. Right, go Cuse.
All right, so who said, wait a second, somebody asked me, hey, Brad, can we see everybody else's pick in your bracket? Yes, you can't right now. It's locked the deadline. It's locked until the deadline ends tomorrow at 11:15 a.m.
After
the deadline, then I think it's unlocked and you can see everybody, because nobody can change anything afterwards. Right now, you can change your picks. You can go back in there and change them if you think, oh, well, maybe Wisconsin's going to beat James Madison. You can go in there and change them. But after 11:15 tomorrow, they're locked.
Yeah. He said, good luck to Kentucky. I said, Kentucky fans will be on pins and needles all weekend because this is a huge weekend. Like, I'm not saying in terms of, you know,
they need Kentucky to get fans to get through this weekend unscathed. It would be a big weekend for Kentucky fans this week.
If they don't get unscathed, there's going to be a lot of noise. Like a lot of noise.
Jerry, I hope that answered your question, but on the bracket challenge.
But hopefully they won't be no noise.
The reason why they are locked right now is because people can change them, and they don't want people copying and stuff like that. So they're locked until 11:15 tomorrow, 11:15 a.m.
Hey, did you know that Jerry Carter was a 49ers fan?
I did know he's a 49ers fan.
Lord have mercy.
I'm Green Bay and you're Dallas, and he's 49ers.
Andrew said
those three guys just don't mix. You know what I mean?
Andrew said, if you guys lose the first weekend, stay away from Lexington as far away as possible.
Those three teams just don't mix.
Andrew said, stay away from Lexington if they lose.
I got you, Andrew. Like, it's a big weekend for Kentucky fans.
Yeah, it's.
I'm saying Kentucky fans.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we have been on. I've got to end this thing. We've been on almost 90 minutes, so. I got to end this thing. I hope you guys enjoy the madness. We will see you on Sunday evening. I'm not exactly sure what time. I'm saying 6 right now, Central, but we might do it a little later.
What does Greg Gumbel say? We'll see you down the road.
We'll see you down the road.
Have a good one, everybody.
All right, man. Have a good night.